is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects for the final hour of the big show. Two in the books, one more still to go as we enter hour number three.
I got a couple texts.
Okay.
One of them said, Hundley runs like a deer. Too bad he throws like one, too.
Good point.
That was from
fair
Eric.
Point. Very fair point.
That's pretty funny. And then somebody said, here's real analysis. Barry is not funny. Astros in six.
Okay. See, I told you, you're going to get the hate because
it's okay.
of that.
I did my job. My job was to give you my opinion on how I
Absolutely.
Think it's going to go.
Absolutely. Just like I don't run from the fact that I'm
a
Packer fan.
And someone said, well, why do you think it's going to go like that? What was your analysis
now,
that made you think?
Someone was stupid.
That made you think Dodgers in six. I'll tell you what it was. It was the Astros' lack of bullpen. That's it. I think the Astros can get up in several of these games. The problem is, this is the World Series where you have 6 outs to go, 9 outs to go. Good luck. That might as well be an extra game. It's going to feel like that. This bullpen scares me. I think that this bullpen will lose them games.
What was their margin of victory in NLCS?
Well, you mean over
the Cubs?
You got to figure out. You figured there was the huge blowout victory in Game Five when Kike
five
Hernandez,
to two, 4-1, 6-1, and 11-1.
Yeah, they were dominant in their wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the thing that makes me think that the Dodgers are going to win are those scores alone. Like, they obviously shut down Cubs hitting. And they produced at the plate.
Well, you got to play a real team. The Astros were playing a real team. Like that BS call Granato had to take before he turned it over to us. I mean, if you thought the Cubs were going to put up any kind of battle against the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers were the far superior team. But now they're going to play a real team. It's going to be closer games. Now, to Barry's point, which I hate, is the fact that plays right into the fact that the bullpen could cough it up.
That's what scares me the most. It has nothing to do with this rotation. I've said I think the rotations are probably even. I think the Astros have a much stronger hitting lineup. I think they'll be able to put up some runs. The question will be, can their bullpen keep leads for them? And I just don't think they can right now. There's nobody.
Look.
The fact, especially since you're moving McCullers into the rotation, there goes that option. So now your best options out of the pen might be McEwen, Peacock, and Musgrove. That's who I listed as my first options in high leverage situations between innings 4 and 8. You still have to go with Giles. That's your guy. That's your closer.
He's the one guy that at least I think of all the guys that are left in the pen that I think could still get it done simply because of how fast his fastball is. And if that slider is biting, it can be very devastating, and he can get strikeouts on his own.
But you put him out there in Game 6, and you gave him a little bit of confidence to get more than 3 outs.
Yeah.
No, he went an inning in Game 6.
I'm going to go advantage Astros in starting pitching because of the fact that I when he was a member of the A's, I think Hill was a different story. The Astros have seen him enough; they know what he's got. I don't think that he's intimidating by any stretch of the imagination. You got the kid, what's his name, Wood?
I think you're sleeping on Hill. His only problem the last 2 years have been blisters. And if it wasn't for those blisters, he's a top of the rotation kind of guy. He really is. He's, put it this way, their top three and the Astros' top three, I think, are about as even as you can get between Kershaw and Verlander and Darvish and Keuchel and Hill and McCullers. I think that's dead even. But, I mean, you're right. He can be susceptible, but I think a lot of his problems in the past 2 years when he's run into trouble was injuries. But when he's healthy, he's tough.
Well, hopefully L.A. got him some penicillin to clear up those blisters. But at the same time, I think that, again, there's another thing to be said about the confidence right now of whether it be the hot pitchers or the hot team. I don't think that – you can't get any more confident than what McCullers is going to be or Verlander. Or for that matter, Keuchel wasn't bad in his last start at Yankee Stadium. It's just he finally gave up some runs to the Yankees, which he hadn't done. But like I said, personally, I give a little bit of an advantage starting pitching. It is fairly even. But I would say just from a momentum coming in standpoint, I give a little advantage to the Stros in terms of the starters, but there's no question about the fact that their bullpen has a huge advantage over the Astros' bullpen just because of the results they've gotten in the postseason or not gotten in the postseason.
The one thing that I think, again, is the you don't know, you're going to have to play more situational in the National League parks. It's going to be more of a,
for sure.
And again, that means you're going to have to dip into that bullpen and bring in some guys that I don't know if you can trust. You've got two guys that can supposedly get lefties out, and that's Liriano and Davinsky. Who are you bringing in? Who you feel comfortable with?
Well, I was gonna say,
in the World Series against a team that can hit, the Dodgers are no slouch at the plate. They're not great by any stretch of the imagination, but they can hit. Look what they did against the Cubs staff.
And situationally, you're right, but you can go and say they are locked down tight 7th, 8th, and 9th. You used to be able to say that about the Astros. There was a time on this show when you and I were talking about, hey, if a starter goes 5, he's good, because then you turn it over to Will Harris and Davinsky and Giles and Gregerson, you're good. I mean, and now it's like that's the biggest fear that anybody has, that if you got to see those guys, that means the starters are done, and that's scary.
Yep. So I guess if I was – because somebody was saying, did I break it down by game – since I said in game 6.
Why are these people asking these dumb questions?
I don't know. But I think Keuchel, Kershaw, I think Dodgers win game 1 for sure. I think the Astros can win game 2 on the road. Verlander versus Hill. I think Darvish will get that right back in game 3 here at home where the Astros here in Houston.
You think Darvish gets the win here at home against McCullers?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I like Wood over Morton slightly. I think Keuchel can beat Kershaw here at home because Keuchel's a much better pitcher at home. And then, let's see, what is that? That's three each, right? Yeah, 3-2.
What is it that makes you like Wood at home? Just asking. It's a question. It was right there.
All right. So Verlander and Hill in game 6.
All right, we got some callers that want to chime in. Let's go with Matt. You've been holding the longest. Matt, what's up?
I was just wondering, with the World Series coming here into Houston, what kind of impact it has on the city versus the Super Bowl? I don't know how often it ever happens that the Super Bowl and World Series are hosted in the same city in the same calendar year. So I was just wondering, Super Bowl versus World Series, what kind of impact they have on the city. So I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, it's not like the Super Bowl by any stretch of the imagination. I think when you're looking like dollar wise, it's probably in the neighborhood of, 30 to 50 million.
What, Super Bowl?
The World Series in revenue impact. I don't think that it's nearly as big.
Oh, no way.
Because the Super Bowl.
You know, and I'm not Darren Revell, but from a business perspective, when you look at this kind of thing, you don't know who the teams are going to be, but you know you're going to have the Super Bowl. So therefore, the planning goes months, if not years in advance, so that the hotel rooms and the hype and the whole week-long of activities that went down at Discovery Green, what you're going to see now between them, it's just the media circus that's traveling and the fans of the team. So when you think about people that want to see a World Series game, you have no idea if it's going to be in your town or not. So it's all last minute. And then the media, and again, the big circus of everybody that's going to travel down here for the games that are going to be in Houston, that's minimal compared to what you see for Super Bowl. So yeah, the economic impact isn't going to be as great, but there's definitely going to see an uptick because of all the hype and all the...
I think the most comparable thing to the Super Bowl in terms of any other sport is their all-star game. With a baseball all-star game, they know where it's going to be. They know that you're going to get a lot more celebrities, events, whatever. So,
so you'll see an uptick in restaurants, transportation, a lot of your Chamber of Commerce type things, but not even close to scratching the surface of what you'll see for Super Bowl.
No, there's no comparison. I think it's not as big of an event worldwide, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people flock from all over to see a Super Bowl, and it doesn't matter who the teams are. Nobody from Boston is driving down to Houston to see a World Series.
Nope.
Now, people that live in Boston will drive to Minnesota or fly to Minnesota to catch the Super Bowl if they have a chance, and whether the Patriots are in it or not. Same thing. I mean, people from Houston will go to Minnesota to watch the Super Bowl.
It's not on your bucket list.
Nobody's doing that.
But in most people's bucket list to see a Super Bowl, right?
That's exactly right.
everybody's got a different bucket list, but sports fans in general, they put the, you know, the major championships, so the NCAAs and then the World Series, the Super Bowl, you know, the NBA Finals, things like that. And if you get a chance, there's a following of just the sport. But for this, because you can't plan for it, you know, it's different in terms of who's going to follow it and how. But you will see an economic uptick. So,
Jason Snow mentioned something that Tyler did at the break that we were talking about. The Barstool show has already been canceled by ESPN. That's crazy. 1 week. Bye.
Guess Sam Ponder's got a little bit more weight than what you thought.
Mm-hmm.
Serafin, we see you. We're going to get to you next. We're going to continue to talk about some Astros. We promised you some football, though, so we still got to get to football. Our take on the week that was in the NFL and college, and, of course, the new poll that's out for college football. Once again, my Badgers win by 20, and they get bumped out of the top five. You think I'm happy? We'll be back with a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
They live in late in big houses with pools in the backyard. Certified gangsters, so you never see us act fraud. With
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Final hour of the big shows. We continue to roll on. We've been talking baseball the entire time. And because we owe it to you, the loyal Usual Suspects, we will at least start this segment with baseball. Then we're going to transition to a little football because I want to get Barry's thoughts on the fact that we both watched some football this weekend, too, and some of the things that stood out in the NFL and also the new college football poll that's out. But first, Serafin's been holding. He wants to talk Astros. What's up?
The Astros are going to the World Series.
This is confirmed,
sir.
How's that
sound, guys?
Yes, it sounds fantastic. That's confirmed. Barry Beautiful. Has picked the Dodgers in six.
Yeah. I'm just so excited. I really think that the Astros are going to surprise everybody this year. I don't know. It might be in five, guys. I don't know. Could see them.
So, Sarah, you're saying Astros in five. You're saying Astros in five.
I think so. Here's the thing is that
Everybody was
10-0 when the Yankees lost, and nobody was talking about Morton. And I just felt like, you know, these guys are built for this. Like, it's going to be good, man. I don't know. I just feel that way.
All right. Well, you know, don't lose the hope. Don't lose the excitement. That's good. I just warn you, Dodgers are 3-1 on the road on the playoffs. The Astros are 1-4. They're going to go on the road for their first two. I actually think they're going to get a split. I just don't think it goes as well for them here at home because the Dodgers play really well on the road. And the pitching matchups, I think, favor them here.
Yeah, maybe. But I definitely think the Astros are going to win it for sure. And that's, you know, not being a Houston guy or whatever, but I just feel like this is our year for sure.
Good deal, man.
Appreciate it, man.
The call. Astros in five. Book it. Serafin has said it. It's out there. His phone wasn't great.
No,
it was weird.
Not.
Kept cutting out.
He almost got
stuttering. It was weird.
One of the feared responses that when you call in and then can't keep the connection and have a solid take. So you were talking a little bit about some of the stuff that went on in the NFL aside from the brutal fiasco that I watched that made Clarence happy. But with the Texans on bye week, obviously we got a chance to watch a lot more of the other teams. Holy cow, was I wrong about the Arizona Cardinals. And now Carson Palmer not only has a broken arm, he needs surgery. Adrian Peterson went right back to crap in the bed. He's done. But one of the things you mentioned, I was watching closely that Seattle Giants game.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't help but have flashbacks to the last week of the replacement officials when the Packers got screwed on a call. But I watched the replay, and if you didn't see it, it was like deja vu all over again. How the Giants got screwed on that, I don't know. But if you missed it, it was like an up-for-grabs ball that Russell Wilson threw. It looked like the Giants' defensive back clearly, at worst-case scenario, broke it up. But looked like he had inside position on the football. Once they hit the ground, the ball was bobbled. When the Seattle receiver tried to regain, like, dominant position of the football, his foot was out of bounds. And yet they called it a Seahawks touchdown.
Yeah, I think sometimes the referees will do that to force a replay, right? So it's like, well, let's call it a touchdown, and then the replay shows that it's not. It'll be overturned, no problem. But they can't review it. You're not going to force,
right?
You know, that way you don't force a
well,
somebody
no play
having
can
to
be
ask
reviewed
for,
short of a red flag, unless it's a scoring play
or turnover, right?
Right.
So I think that the referees kind of want to err on that. The problem is when it's a tie like that, whatever the call is going to stand, which is the risk you run if you decide to go ahead and say, well, we're just going to call it a touchdown. Because if you know, if it's a turnover, then they're going to review it. But it was one of those things, man. Whichever way that it was called was probably going to be how it was done, because it was a tie. There's no way to determine a tie, right? Like, how do you figure who in baseball tie goes to the runner? Is the thought anyways?
Well, you hit it right on the head. Look,
but there's no
under
tie.
The spirit of the rule and good officiating, you leave it to the replay people. But you're right. The only way that the replay people, unless one of the coaches decided that they were adamant enough to throw the red flag, to assure that they get the call right in that situation, you got to rule it a touchdown. And you're right. If it's a too close to call, then they're going to go with the call on the field. And that sucks. Because I looked at that thing no short of 7 times and rewinded my DVR as well and went, at best, you called it incomplete. If you can't even come up
with
a solution.
I'm with you. But then somebody caught it, right?
Yeah. But again, when you see the guy's 1 foot on the white out of bounds when the receiver finally looked like he was kind of tugging it away from the defensive back for Seattle. Then it's an incomplete pass. That was frustrating.
Yeah, and it wasn't replacement officials. And can I tell you, I don't know what the official's name was that had to make the call, but he sounded disgusted. Like, here we go again. He was like,
well, you know why
review,
he said that? Same officiating crew in the Patriots-Jets game.
Well, it was the same head referee, right?
Yeah, right.
The rest of them were the scab refs, right?
No, I'm talking about the same crew that last week took that touchdown away from the Jets.
Yeah, okay,
against the Patriots.
But in the Fail Mary,
right? It was all
the head referee. It was the same head referee.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe they said it was the same head referee.
I thought it was the same referee that did the game last week with the same controversy over a replay in the Jets not getting that touchdown.
Well, if it was, then maybe I understood them or misunderstood.
It wouldn't be the same referee because that was the last week of the scab refs, the replacement refs. So you wouldn't
I was thinking that, but did he cross for some reason?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then that makes more sense. But he sounded disgusted either way. So either he went through it with the Jets and the Patriots or he went through it with the Fail Mary. Either way, he sounded disgusted and pissed off, which I found to be hilarious that it came through on the mic. I was like, well, you know, he's frustrated. Okay. That's good.
All know, some things do come through on the mic that you don't want.
It happens.
Yeah, for sure. But that was one of the things that stood out to me. Cam Newton, aside from what he wore for his pregame arrival to the stadium and postgame, our good friend Travis Johnson made an unbelievable comparison on Twitter to what Cam was wearing in someone that was once on a sitcom.
Yeah, there was a couple of them. I saw Rilo from Sanford and Son. I saw Huggy Bear.
Yep.
I saw the dude from Fat Albert. Oh, there were some good ones.
Good look when you win. Not a good look when you lose to the Bears 17-3.
I've said this before about Cam, and I'm going to stick with it, and it really bothers me with him. And I used to be a big Cam fan. Like, I really liked his game. I liked the way he was. That one commercial that he had was hilarious with that little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. That makes you kind of makes you a fan seeing the way you throw the ball to kids and stuff like that. But he's a pouting crybaby when they lose, and it gets on my nerves now.
Not only that, did you see what happened this week?
I don't want you to be happy that you lost, but you don't have to be out there pouting.
Right.
Like, he pouts like a
Super
baby.
Bowl, all that. But you saw what happened this week, too?
Just gets
out
on
of
my
the
nerves.
Blue, and I don't know if this is just, I don't want to say bipolar, but I don't know if this is something that he just goes through in stages. He blew off, you know, during the week, the quote-unquote star players have to do a press conference later in the week. He has his, and it's customarily, I think, on Thursdays. Just no-showed it. Just didn't show, didn't tell his PR department.
Wow.
No one knew anything. The NFL was going to, quote-unquote, investigate. You know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
But out of the blue, I understand it if it was the week after you made the comment to the female reporter about, wow, a female talking to me about routes. I would understand it if he was trying to run from it at that point. But it was like regular week, and you just AWOL.
Wow.
It's a different kind of dude.
He's a jerk,
man.
I mean, that's the sad thing is he's had the whole the woman comment and now then and then the pouting and it's a shame. But also you gotta say one, the Browns and Kaiser, just what the hell.
Now you heard the backstory there now?
Yeah, he was out at the club.
Yeah, Friday night till 1:30 in the morning.
Baby.
There's a picture of him passed out at the bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, picture or video. They were talking about it.
They had a 1:30 a.m. timestamp photo, regardless of him out. And it's never good when your head coach is doing his post-game press conference after an overtime loss, and he has to thank the media because he was unaware of it. But now that he is,
he's going
to
handle it.
He'll take care of it. And by the way, even more unfortunate, Kizer was walking down the hallway to follow Hugh Jackson to the podium, and Hugh decided to grab him and pull him back into the locker room for a little chat.
Oh, that's a bad look. Yeah. But also, Eddie Jackson going off for the Bears against Carolina talked about. Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt still rolling. And I don't understand what the Bengals are doing with Joe Mixon. Just give the kid the ball and let him run.
And he wants that. And but at the same time, I don't, you want to give me the flip side of the equation? What the hell is Vontaze Burfict still doing?
He's an idiot.
Yeah, he stirred it up before the game, and then he
kicked the guy,
60 seconds into the game?
Yeah, dummy.
Dude is just seriously off his rocker. All right, we got plenty more to get to, but right now I'm going to tell you about some great people with a great product. That is the people at Window World of Houston. They not only provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but their energy-saving windows are made right here in the U.S. of A., and they carry the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Window World has become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price starting at just $189 plus $45 for Solar Zone Low E, which meets Texas energy requirements. I'm telling you right now, this is a great deal because I believe in not paying what I didn't ask for and not being hassled because people want me to get a product that I don't want. They have such a great product that they believe in that they've got a deal where they give you a free written estimate and it costs you absolutely nothing and there's no hassles or no high pressure. They're not going to come back at you. You go back to them if and when you're ready to do business with them. That's how much they believe in their product. So all you got to do is call 713-439-1172 or you log on to windowworldhouston.com and you tell them where you live. They come to you. They check out what you have. They tell you what they can do to improve your windows and with it, lower and reduce your energy bills year round, and then they walk away. They hand you a free written estimate and they go about their business. If you see everything that they can do for you and you believe like I do that they are the quality product that can definitely reduce your bills and make your house better looking and more energy efficient, then you'll call them back. 713-439-1172, windowworldhouston.com. I'm telling you, Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. Before we turn it over to Jung, Fred, AJ, and The Blitz
is on. Hey,
No, it's not yet.
Oh, yeah. I was ranting a little earlier about bandwagon fans, and I understand it. I just don't like it. It doesn't mean I have to like. And Raheel was trying to convert me, like, "Hey man, what's the big deal? Look, there's no specific reason. I just don't like it. That's it. It's just me. It's not a big. I mean, if you are, that's fine. But a buddy of mine, Connor Hogan, when I had it on Facebook, he posted. He goes, "Yeah, I heard this lady complaining. She was like, why do they keep showing this old guy? It was Nolan Ryan." That is the kind of people I'm talking about. That lady. Okay. That lady who loves J.J. Watt but has no idea who anyone else is. Not in the entire city of Houston sports landscape. She just knows J.J. Watt and Jose Altuve, and that's it. That's the lady that I don't like.
And that's fair. I mean, definitely a fair point because there are those people out there. But again,
why do they keep showing this old guy? It's Nolan freaking Ryan.
That's ridiculous. And the other thing that was ridiculous, that even for me, who is a little bit different than you in terms of the Wii's and the jerseys and things like that, but That dude that they showed wearing a legitimately real-looking batting helmet with just the one ear hole and wristbands and batting gloves at a game, I immediately thought of you and go, if you don't light this guy up on Twitter, I'm going to. Because you want to talk about a bad look.
Yeah.
You scan the crowd for Astros fans, and we've talked about some of the unfortunates that they get from time to time. But the fact that you scan the crowd and you get this guy in the one ear hole or one ear guard batting helmet, looking legit batting helmet with batting gloves and wristbands. What are you doing?
I'm surprised they didn't have the elbow guard.
He's wearing the pant, like the full uni, like pants.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Jersey tucked
cleats.
In.
Yeah, he's walking around Minute Maid in cleats.
And then he had some, like, he took his drill at home and kind of drilled to the batting helmet to try to put the Marwin and Correa face guard
on.
Can't
drink beer. What a dork.
Come on, man. That's a horrible look.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, if Yankees fans got on that, I get it. But other than that, no.
Whoever memed it and it was like, are you really going to wear your batting helmet and gloves to the game? It's game seven, Denise.
It's game seven.
I'll show you the meme.
I saw another meme where it was Altuve and Biggio. And all it said was, here's the greatest Astro of all time standing next to Craig Biggio.
Wow. How quickly they turned.
It was outstanding.
You're not wrong.
Just the turn that takes, that was pretty outstanding. So, all right, let's talk football. My
all
bad.
Right, I think so you're the new college football poll is out.
Memphis!
No surprise.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Although, yeah. U of H remembers who they are. But AP Top 25 coaches poll, pretty much identical in the
no changes in the top eight. Yeah.
Correct.
Notre Dame,
impressive. You picked them. I did not. But USC, I'm sorry, Sean Salisbury, off the bandwagon.
Well, how the hell did USC even survive not falling out of the top 25?
And Sam Darnold, I hope you have fantastic postseason workouts.
Goodness.
Because you went from being the unanimous number one pick in the NFL draft next year to you might want to hang in there for another year.
Goodness, right?
Terrible.
Yeah, Notre Dame, the biggest mover as far as up. They jumped up four spots to nine, and then Oklahoma rounds out the top 10, who fell a spot to 10.
So Alabama, Penn State, Georgia, and TCU top four. Wisconsin at five, Ohio State to six in both Clemson, Miami, and then, as you mentioned, Notre Dame at nine in the AP. At 10 in the coaches poll, Oklahoma 9, they flip flop. But
you good with having 2 1-loss teams ahead of Miami and Ohio State and Clemson? I get it. It's Miami. I'm not sold on Miami.
Syracuse was in it. I get it too, and understand what we're dealing with talent wise and what you see in Ohio State and Clemson. But yeah, until they get knocked off, and their schedule has plenty of opportunities for them to get knocked off. 6-0, 6-0. I think they deserve to be at 6 right now. Because it can still change. Look, Ohio State's going to play Penn State this week, so someone's going to tumble. That's a huge game.
Yep. Who are you taking in that?
It's early, but I definitely see Ohio State.
Really?
I think I can see Ohio State beating Penn State.
Okay.
I
believe in Penn State, but of course I believed in Clemson too.
Right.
And look how they did me.
Remember how we started from the preseason talking about the defensive line of Ohio State and how
best in the planet.
Shiano said the best ever.
Ever, including the
pros.
Well,
they got a chance to prove it. If they could shut down Barkley, who's one hell of a player.
Man.
And if that dude hasn't wrapped up the Heisman by now, he will shortly.
Yeah.
But I think Ohio State's D-line can give Penn State problems.
Okay.
But we'll see. It's early. We're not making these picks.
I guess
with the
Ohio State, Clemson, and Miami thing, the only thing that I could think of is if you have to look at, well, what if they played straight up? You know, what if Ohio State and Miami played? Who are you taking? I'm taking Ohio State.
Right.
If Clemson and Miami play, who are you taking? I'm taking Clemson.
Absolutely.
But then you got, okay, if Notre Dame, who is ninth and Miami is eighth, played, who are you taking? I'd probably take Notre Dame.
I would too.
So you start to look at that and you start to think, is Miami just overvalued just because they're undefeated right now?
Yeah, schedule plays a lot into that. Yeah. I keep telling you the Badgers are going to fall because their schedule has just been softer than the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I may even have to, when you look at Miami, you look at the four teams that are behind them, or the three teams, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. I think I would take all three of those teams to beat Miami.
I would too. Now, I will say this, though.
Oak State of the three.
Oak State should have slid more because that performance against that UT team.
UT's not getting enough credit, though. I mean, UT is hanging in. They're not by any means great.
Did you catch any of that broadcast?
Bad quarterback play at the end of the last two games has really hurt them.
Texas.
Yes.
Yes. But on the flip side, did you hear how many times that the announcers oversold how great the offense and the nation's best offense at Oklahoma State was? And you go single digits and need overtime to beat Texas, you should slide.
Okay. I mean,
again, your schedule against Oklahoma has a chance for you to, and then the Big 12 championship game has a chance for you to be where you should be at the end of the year. But based on results and how the Badgers always get knocked down for a team that blows someone up by 30 instead of 20, I think Oklahoma State should have slid a little bit.
Uh-oh, I heard Badgers in there. What happened?
I'm telling you, they're going to slide.
But you're talking about a Texas team that hung in with USC 27-24. Mm-hmm. Not that USC is great. We just talked about it. Oklahoma 29-24 and Oak State 13-10. So while the record doesn't reflect it, I think the Longhorns are actually still better than they're getting credit for.
Okay, and I can see that. And by the way, if you're an Ag and you're wondering, at least in the coaches poll, the Ags at 5-2 are 24.
Yeah, what? In the coaches poll? They cracked the top 25?
Coaches poll, top 25 at 24, hanging on by a thread.
AP, they're 26th.
So there you go. So they're sniffing it.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Woo!
Setting you up for that big fail later. Like the Badgers, I'm telling you. All right, one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up with a put a bow on it and turn it over to Fred AG and the Blitz next. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, great show today, gang.
Thanks. I feel like I did well.
I feel like everybody did well. I thought it was fun. Did. We were rolling through a lot of stuff, a lot of fun with the Astros. But final segment here before we turn it over to the Blitz, doing some housekeeping on some things. One thing I was going to mention to you earlier, I mentioned to you during the break, but your guy that you now use on your Twitter picture, but the guy that got all that run in New York for doing the thumbs down that the Yankees ended up doing.
Mets fan.
Yeah, Mets fan that was doing it during the Subway Series. He got more run than Ken Bone.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a good,
he's
that's
like
a good
Ken
call.
Bone's brother. The way those two guys just got their 15 seconds and then some.
So they were like media outlets are interviewing him?
Oh yeah, and the because of the
I
mean,
hear
until
anything. I just
now
saw
they
the
won't.
Picture and that was
oh,
it.
The New York media was all over it, and the Yankees, of course, because they did it. And then every time that they showed the Yankees doing it, they showed the guy's picture again because of the fact that, you know, it was an actual guy that did it at a game that's got him started.
Yeah.
Him and Ken Bone were like living in parallel universes there for a while.
I mean, it makes sense, though. He did write the Game of Thrones, so.
I see what you did there.
Is that not him?
No, it wasn't that funny.
I know.
I think that
George R.R. Martin. It does look like him, though.
I know George R.R. Martin is a huge Giants fan.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's actually.
You're taking this too seriously, Tyler.
No, there's parts in the book where he
well, if you look at their
gives
job
allusions to the Patriots, Giants, and somebody some other sports team. Like there's a giant in the book that he calls 1-1, which is number 11. I think.
Oh yeah,
Boomer.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
you lost me.
That was great.
Yeah. Thanks for contributing.
It was a big giant dumb.
Remember that part about a good show?
Yeah, there's good news. The good news on the horizon.
Fred would have appreciated
Nick
that.
Nick will be back at some point.
Game of Thrones stuff.
Housekeeping from around the NBA. If you missed it over the weekend, Steph Curry ejected through his mouthpiece. Bye. Said he wasn't trying to hit an official. Not only did he get ejected, but it'll cost him 50G.
The best thing I like about that is somebody tweeted out, he really hates his mouthpiece. See, that's not the first time
he threw it in the finals against the Cavs,
funny.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he got hit for that. At first, he said he wasn't throwing it at the official, and then after he heard Draymond Green's comments in which those two guys, because Durant got thrown out too in the final minute, those two guys can't get thrown out till we figure that stuff out. We're not going to be a good team. So then he owned it and said, I screwed up, my bad. But Durant showed a fan his ring finger to...
I thought he gave him the finger.
Everyone did. So, but he was basically telling the fan, I got a ring, so shut your mouth. But of course, when he was set up by the Golden State TV people... who threw him the slow lob, he went, no, I'm not an angry black man. I did not give him that finger. I gave him the ring finger to stir it up a little bit more. But Durant and Curry were thrown out, and they lost to the Grizzlies 1-2 to start the season. Not exactly the look you want if you're the Warriors, but I think they're going to be okay.
Oh, no doubt. They're going to be just fine. Rockets, though, are your cream of the crop.
Number one in the power rankings. Kurt Lowe already on Twitter giving them the moniker
Good
team
Lord.
To beat.
Yeah.
I tweeted him. I said, bro, they've never given a championship away in October.
Screenshot this, though. Rockets 1, Spurs 2, Warriors 3, Cavs 4, Wizards 5. That's your power rankings top 5 for week 1 in the NBA. It won't stay like
no.
that.
No. Enjoy your championships in October in the NBA, but everything settled in June, just an FYI.
Remember all that defense we talked about that the Rockets were going to play?
Yeah.
Already given up 104 a game.
Well, because they're without Chris Paul, but when he comes back, it'll right the entire ship.
Already given up 104 a game.
If you missed it, Eric Bledsoe, after his coach, Earl Watson, was fired 3 games in for the Suns, Kevin McHale, your record is now broken. In the process, Eric Bledsoe had tweeted, I don't want to be here. The general manager met with him today, in which he said, oh, wait, you didn't get it. What I really meant was I was at a hair salon with my girl, and I didn't want to be here. General manager just sent out a quote. We didn't take that as something we could believe. We sent him home. He's now actively pursuing trades to try and get Eric Bledsoe out of a Suns uniform.
Good for them for not believing it,
I
by
like
the way.
It. Yeah,
I
like
do, too.
Dwayne Brown's
I was thinking about it this morning. What he did was the easiest, most passive-aggressive way to say it and still have an out.
Yep.
So, good for them.
No doubt about it. All right, great show, guys. We'll be back and doing it all the rest of the week as we'll be here same time, same channel tomorrow. But until then, the Blitz is next. Don't go anywhere. It's ESPN 97.5. He's got a brand new bag.
ESPN 97.5.